Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
All right, so just going to read, I'll read from the top down through verse 3 of Matthew chapter 3. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So that's kind of where we're gonna camp out today. We're gonna talk about making our paths straight. We're gonna fold in some of the ideas from the past few weeks that we've been touching on, the ideas of freedom. I think we described last week. We said, what is freedom? What is freedom that the Bible promises? It's not licentiousness. It's not freedom to do the good, the bad, the ugly. It's freedom from sin. That's the freedom that Jesus came to bring. It's not just some generic freedom. I give you a pass. Do what you want. The Bible has never intended to say that. The freedom that Jesus has given us is freedom from sin. And so when Jesus says, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." He's talking about the kind of freedom that he had, that he walked in. And Jesus was free from sin. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful premise? So David Bentley Hart is a writer. He's a professor of philosophy and theology. He's taught at Duke Divinity School, University of Virginia, University of St. Thomas. And I've been going through one of his books. He talks about freedom also. He says, talking about in today's culture and the freedom, the interpretation of the word freedom that we use in our culture is the interpretation that says you can't tell me what to do. I can do what I want to do and nobody has a right to tell me what to do. And seems to cite or point out that that's the highest value in our culture. It's higher than rationality or reason is our interpretation of the word freedom as meaning that we can do whatever the heck we want. And really, that's the freedom, the idea of freedom that's being sold to us. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not really, God is okay if you'd rather be a plumber than a baker. I think that's a freedom you get to choose, but that's not the essence of life. The essence of life is that sin is not controlling you. The essence of true life is that you are not being controlled by forces inside of yourself, that you've been fashioned and you've been formed in such a way that you cannot control yourself from being the way you are. And you make excuses for it, and you learn to live with it, and you say, well, that's just my personality. That's just me. That's just the way I am. That's the way my father was. That's the way our culture is. That's the way my ethnicity is. And so, therefore, you're just going to have to live with it because I'm free. And Jesus Christ did not come to the earth to give you the freedom to have you know, to blow up every time somebody says something you don't like because of your ethnic background. You understand what I'm saying? That's not freedom. That's not the kind of freedom that Jesus came to give us. Amen? I think this kind of word is liberating, very honestly. Freedom for us today is something transcendent or superior even to reason. David Bentley Hart says that we consider our freedoms as the transcendent force of our culture is our freedom, even more so than our reason, than good reasoning. And we no longer really feel that we must justify our liberties by some previous standard of responsible rationality. We feel like we've been set free from all of the previous standards of righteousness that cultures establish themselves on. We consider ourselves to be free from those because for whatever reason, we consider ourselves to be enlightened. And we look back at our goat farmer ancestors and we say, what could they possibly know about anything? We consider them to be substandard. We consider them to be less than us morally. We look down very judgmentally through the past and consider ourselves the sum total of all enlightenment exists in us now. And there's probably the greatest flaw or error that anyone will ever make. It's just the truth. One of the things about this particular book, The name of the book is Atheist Delusions, Christianity and Its Fashionable Enemies. Some prior standard of responsible rationality, freedom conceived as the perfect, unconstrained spontaneity of individual will, is its own justification, its own highest standard, its own unquestionable truth. Isn't that interesting? Some of these excerpts I just sort of pulled out of the book and put them together. There is, of course, no obvious reason why we should not choose to conceive of freedom in ways unknown to our distant ancestors. But it is wise to be cognizant of the fact that it is, at very least, instructive to realize that our freedom might just as well be seen from certain more antique perspectives as a kind of slavery. He's saying if the people of the past were judging us, he would say that we were the one who were enslaved. Our ancestors would look at us and say that we are the ones who are enslaved, enslaved to untutored impulses. That means people have not learned to tutor or have not gotten instructions of how to contain human impulses, fleshly carnal impulses. Isn't that a good thought? From certain more antique perspectives, as a kind of a slavery to untutored impulses, to empty whimsy, my decision, what I want to do, if I want to go blow all my money at the carnival, you know, empty whimsy in place of rational decision-making is not a freedom. As a matter of fact, it's a slavery. You're a slave to your whim, to triviality, and to dehumanizing values. He says, no one really believes in the gods of the New Age. He says it's really a game. It's a game that people play. Nobody really believes in the gods of the New Age. They are deities not of the celestial hierarchy above, but of the ornamental shelf in the corner. And their only divine office is to give symbolic expression to the dreamier sides of their devotees' personalities. He says they are purchased gods as accessories, and hence are merely masks by the means of which the one true God, the will, he's saying, this is sarcastic, he's saying, there one true God, their will. These accessories help to lift up their one true God, their whimsy, their will. Right? At once conceals and reveals itself. So we have a society where there's a lot of spiritual talk, but there's little spiritual power. And most Christianity is not all that spiritual. It's got doctrine and theology, but the Bible says that in the last days, in the end times, there would be a people who would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I was thinking about Gladiator, the movie Gladiator, because I like it a lot. Just a couple of things. Most of you have seen Gladiator, the movie Gladiator. Yeah. Well, there's the one part where Joaquin Phoenix, who's the bad guy, I don't know why that guy didn't get an Academy Award for that part. He's the most creepy bad guy in all of the history of movies. That is a creepy bad guy, man. That guy, he just bought into that part completely, and it was like nerve-rattling. But he said, at one point, he says to her, "Am I not merciful?" He begins by saying, "Am I not merciful?" And he, number one, he's not merciful. They ain't even got a merciful bone in his body. I mean, the guy is a dirty rat among dirty rats. The guy is the dirty rattiest dirty rat that has ever, he's just a dirty rat. You know, and he says, when he's having, "Father, why are you not letting me be your heir?" Because the gladiator wants to be the heir, or he's going to make the gladiator to be the heir. And his father says, "Because you're a bad person." He said, but even I have gifts, Father. They may not be like, the gladiator. They may not be like character and courage. You know, they may not be those kind of gifts, like character, like courage, and like honesty, and like, you know, all of those kind of things. I have different kinds of gifts, Father. But he comes to that point where he says to his sister, "Am I not merciful?" And then out of the depths of his being, I just read a little piece about this, out of the depths of his being, he screams at the top of his lungs in full demonic mode, "Am I not merciful?" And in the article I read, it said that the actress had a visceral reaction to it because he had ad-libbed it. And I think the culture says to you, "Am I not merciful?" I think our modern culture says to you every day of your life, "Am I not merciful?" That we're supposed to think so well of our culture, that we've got the easy street culture, and I'm going to tell you something, this is one of the most difficult cultures emotionally, maybe as difficult as any culture in history, for a person to be able to grow up unscathed, unpolluted, and not completely destroyed and decimated and entering into very dark places. So am I not merciful? Am I not merciful? And no matter how much you have, you don't have as much as the next guy. No matter how cool your car is, it's not as cool as the next guy's. No matter how big your house is, it's not as big as the next guy's. There's always somebody with bigger, there's somebody prettier, there's somebody more handsome, there's somebody stronger, there's somebody with more. And you know what? Maybe the worst thing you can do in your life is follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked, and who could know it? That's why we have a book. That's why we have standards. And we adopt standards rather than our own whim. Follow? See, what we need to do here is we need to make our paths straight. We're walking on crooked paths, and we need to make our paths straight. That's what we just read in Matthew 3:3. Amen? He says, David Bentley Hart says, Augustine defined the highest state of human freedom not as being able not to sin, but being unable to sin. Now I'm going to try to give you a little paradigm hoopsie-do that I thought was pretty wonderful. Augustine, 600 AD or so, Augustine defined the highest state of human freedom not as being able not to sin. He says that is not the highest degree of human of freedom, being able to not sin, right? Having the self-control not to sin. But rather being unable to sin. And he says this, that condition reflects the infinite goodness of God, who, because nothing can hinder him in the perfect realization of his own nature, is literally incapable of evil. And so therefore God is infinitely free. He's incapable of sin. He's incapable of sin. That's our highest aspiration, to be incapable of sin. Not being able to resist sin 24 hours a day. It's like a five-year-old boy in kindergarten who has to use a restroom, doing the jig, you know? My mom would say, you're doing a jig. You're darn right I'm doing a jig. Get me to a bathroom quick. And that's how we resist temptation, by doing a jig, you know, by trying to push back the forces that we frankly like very much. And so we're always resisting them. But the higher aspiration is not being able to resist sin, but being incapable of sin, because we've received of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We're made motivated by love. John chapter 8:36 simply says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's the freedom that we aspire. That's the freedom that we want to get to. We want to be so in love with Jesus. We want to have so much close proximity with Jesus that that you find freedom in the way that Jesus regarded it. And there are wonderful stories in history, in church history, about people who lived exemplary lives. Job 13, Job is speaking. He says, behold, my eye has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I know also. If you know the story, his friends are telling him what he must have done wrong to be in this terrible, terrible situation that he's in. His children have died, and he's lost all his property. His wife, stuck by his side, not, said, buddy, why don't you just curse God and die, right? He's got boils all over his body. He's just miserable. Everything has gone wrong. You're talking about a prolonged season of everything going wrong. And now, on top of this, he's got these friends sitting around him telling him what he must have done wrong, telling him that it's impossible because God would never allow that to happen to you. A good God would never allow this to happen to you. And Job says, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And frankly, at this point, he says, I don't know why you're wrong. I just know you're wrong. He says, behold, my eye has seen all this. So what you're telling me is not news to me. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. I have to go over your head. You can't fix me. You can't fix me. You can't fix what's in me. I have to go over your head. I've heard all of this stuff that you're telling me. Frankly, I'm tired of it. I now have to go over your head. I need to talk to God. Because I know God is my maker. I know that he loves me. I know that he understands me. I have to talk to God. We swap counsel and rarely come to the point where we say, I have to go to God. Where I am, this pain that I'm bearing, this shame, this circumstance, I have to go to God. He said, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. You know what? This is during the patriarchal period, before Moses got the law and the prophets came. But the beginning of Isaiah chapter 1 says what? God is inviting us, come, let us reason together. See, Job said, I would reason with God. I really don't want to hear what you have to say about it. I want to reason with God. In Isaiah chapter 1, God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make you as white as snow. Amen. Come, let us reason. This is God's reason. This is God's mode of reasoning. You're in sin, and I will cleanse you. Because you can't do it for yourself. Job and his buddies couldn't figure out a way of out of Job's dilemma. Watch. He says, I would speak to the Almighty and desire reason with God. And listen to this. He says, but you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. And he says, you're forgers of lies. He's saying of his friends, what do they do? What does our culture do? Our culture forges lies in you. Our culture forges lies. I guarantee you, you can spit back to me the ethical code of our culture better than you can spit back to me the ethical code of our God. Because that has been forged in you. It's been pounded, it's been heated, it's been forged. That's why we have to make, we just read Matthew 3. We have to make straight the paths. We have to be reforged. We have to come to the master, the blacksmith, the master, to be reforged. The master wants to heat us. The master, how does the master heat us? By disagreeing with the things, with your pet doctrines that make life easier on you. God wants to heat you up and strike you and bend you back into a straight creation of his. So that our paths are not crooked. You see, that's Christianity. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed, bent, back, straight, true, plumb, by the renewing of your minds. To prove what's the good and perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, you are forgers of lies. And these guys are his friends. And they're giving him the best advice that they have. But he says, you're forgers of lies. You're worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent. And that would be your wisdom. What? Be quiet. Be slow to speak and quick to listen, the scripture says to us. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. We do have words, folks. Amen? The forge of the word of God and the spirit of God bends your soul. You want your soul to be bent straight. There, in Forged in Fire, it's this competition show where they make swords and knives. It's really cool. Sometimes they'll give them, to start out with, they'll give them a coil spring from like a huge truck. Now, what do you know about a coil spring? It's in a coil. There's no straightness in the entire thing. But they make these straight, long blades out of a coil spring. That truck, if it stays in the truck, will do 1,000,000 miles, 800,000 miles, and continue to bounce up and down and create a suspension system for that truck. And that coil is never in danger of just straightening itself. You have to understand, when you get saved, you're a coil. I'm not criticizing you. You're a coil. That is not a criticism. All I'm telling you is God wants to straighten. And the way that God straightens is heat and pressure. Heat and pressure.
Hello, my name is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a message entitled, Make Your Path Straight. He opened up today with a scripture from Matthew chapter 3. It says, In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who has spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Jesus also said, later in John, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pastor shared a great message today, showing us how we need to bend ourselves, let God work in us, so our paths, our lives can be shown straight, parts of our lives that are gnarled and twisted, and be made whole in Him. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you pray with me today? Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe that you lived, died on a cross, and was raised again so that I can have eternal life with you, God. Jesus, I place my whole trust in you today. I repent of my sinful ways and turn completely to you. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill me with your power now. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York, 10 a.m. every Sunday. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. And if this word has ministered to you, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? You can give online at cmcconline.org. Again, that website is cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson, signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.